The Word of God talks about sowing the seed. The sower sows the seed on good ground. If you are a worshiper of God, you are good ground. You are good ground. But you've got to remember that the cares of this world, the things that are all around you, come to distract you. I told a lady in the hospital last night, as we were talking, I said, the reason the enemy comes like that is to steal your peace. You see, when you have the peace, the assurance, you should have as Christian people this morning, if you are born again and you've accepted Jesus Christ, then you should have peace even in the midst of the storm. It doesn't make any difference. I've heard of people standing up when a tornado was coming at them, and they said, you don't have any part here. And the tornado would go around them and not touch their property. Why? Because they had peace. How did they have peace? Because the Word of God is our peace this morning. You see, that word that's sown inside of you, it can only take roots if you will nourish it, if you will cause it to grow. You have to do it. How do you do it? By reading the Word, by praying, by being in church, by fellowshipping with those people of like-minded faith. Not fellowshipping with people that want to tear you down all the time. Go to the bar all the time. Sorry. I can never understand what they found in that beer. That's the most horrible tasting stuff. But anyway, that's my opinion. Amen. Don't ask me because I'll give it to you. Anyway. But think about this. Think about this. That word is sown. I hear the word. It comes in. I get the word. Then I'm moving someplace. And all of a sudden somebody comes up and they begin to tell me about the word. That takes the word in more. Then I go to church and I hear the man or woman and they're preaching or they're teaching in Sunday school. I get the word. Then I take the word and I put it down here. I get the word. I keep building upon the word, line upon line, precept upon precept. I build on it. I have to build on it. Because if I do not build upon that word, then those roots from the seed will not go down into good ground and spring up a good crop. Because when that word is sown, it's up to me to keep it nourished. If you don't nourish the word, if you don't nourish the seed, I see these Miracle-Gro commercials. Shows you what happens if you don't put Miracle-Gro. But this is what happens when you put Miracle-Gro. Can I tell you something? This is what happens when you don't feed the word into your spirit and into your soul. You begin to shrivel up and you begin to die. But if you will feed your spirit, feed your soul, then he will expound, he will grow, and he will expand, and he will come up, and he will be a strong force for you. That's what you need to be doing. It's Miracle-Gro. Yeah, it sure is a miracle that God looked down in you and seen where you were and put you in his garden. And he began to nourish you. He began to cultivate. He began to use you. You could have been out there in the world. But God looked and saw a flower for his garden. And he put you into his garden and began to nourish you. He called you. You think sometimes, well, you know, I just went there by accident. Really? You come here by accident? There's no such thing as an accident. You think I'm here by accident? I tried to turn it down. But when God really begins to move the way he wants, you are only just scratching the surface of what God has in store for this building, this body. Oh, Lord. You know, I told you before that you have not an idea of what you've begun. I go back and I read what I wrote that day. I keep a journal. I keep a journal, Sister Sharon, and I wrote in there about the move of the Spirit. I wrote in there about baptizing 13 in water. I wrote in there about taking my shoe off and putting it on the altar and not having to say a word, and other people took their shoe off. They were giving God the right of redeeming kinsmen. God could redeem the church. God could redeem. Oh, you said he could do it anyway. Yeah, but you know what? He's not a pushy person. He won't invade where he's not asked to come into. Even though this is his house, there are houses today that might as well write the word Ichabod over the door, because the Spirit of the Lord hath departed. And if we don't keep our relationship in tune with him, then he can write over the door here, "The Spirit of the Lord hath departed." We must keep a move of the Holy Ghost always in our midst. We must be seeking the Holy Ghost. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. We must be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Those of you that have not got the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you need to ask God to fill you with the gift so that you can operate in the gifts, so you can be zealous to prophesy. You say, "Well, I want to see miracles." Talk to him, not me. It's his. He's the distributor. I'm just the vessel, you know. You want to see miracles? Ask him to cause miracles to be granted by your hand. He said he worked miracles by the disciples' hands. You're his hands. You're his feet. You're his mouthpiece. What are you speaking? "Oh, I don't know, Pastor, if I could do that." You can't. You can't. If you're already talking that, forget it. Forget it, because not a double-minded man think he shall receive anything of God. You have to come to the place and see, "No good and perfect gift will I withhold from him that will walk upright before me." Man, woman, or child, it doesn't make any difference. The 11-year-old can cause the Holy Ghost to move. A 14, 15 years old can cause the Holy Ghost to move. It doesn't matter about the age. It matters about the condition of the heart, the dedication, the commitment. If they will commit themselves to God, if they will dedicate themselves to God, then God will use them as a vessel that he can flow through. You see, we stop the flow with our doubt, our unbelief, our negative speaking, our criticism. But if we will come to the place, "Here I am, Lord. I lift my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord." Don't lift the cup. Lift you up. Take the lid off so that he can pour in. Take the lid off so that he can fill up. Take the lid off, because he said, "Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Not trickles, not streams. He said rivers. They dammed up the Mississippi. Now they're having to turn it loose. Now they're having to turn it loose. Can I tell you something? The enemy may have the body of Christ dammed up, but I'm going to tell you something. When it comes close in time, when the Holy Ghost gets done with everybody and we get every single gate open, it's going to flow out. It ain't going to flow out 600 gallons a second. 600 gallons a second. Can you imagine what will happen if every single person in here was in tune with the Holy Ghost and in one mind, one accord? It said the very house that they were shaken, it was shaken where they were. And the power of God came down. And Peter came out and preached. And 3,000 souls were added in one message. One message. You see, people, when the Holy Ghost is allowed to move, when the Holy Ghost has free reign, when the Holy Ghost is in charge, not man, then things will happen. Not can, they will. Because when we allow that Spirit of God to flow through us, to flow through us. You know, I had to laugh. I went to the hospital last night and I was praying for the the wife, you know. I was just praying, and I try sometimes to be very quiet, dignified, or what's the word? I try, and even in the hospital, I try to be whatever you want to call it. But anyway, but when I can reach back and shut the door, and then I can begin to pray, and when I begin to pray, Brother Brian, I'm telling you right now, for me to pray in English anymore is almost an impossibility. I just can't do it. The Holy Ghost wells up inside of me. And when he starts praying, you know, there was three ladies there, and the man was in the bed, and I'm praying, you know, and I looked down at him, and I said, Paul, the only thing I seen was this hand reaching up. You know, I just reach out like that. And when he grabs hold of me, the power of God, bam! There's the power right there. Where? When any two agree and the Holy Ghost begin to pray over him and he begins to jerk in the bed and his wife and the other people in there begin almost like the power of God is pushing them back. It's not me. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. If you will allow the power of the Holy Ghost to move through your vessel, you are but a vessel. It's not your place to heal. It's not your place to deliver. It's your place to pray. It's your place to be a vessel that the Holy Ghost can flow through. He is desires to flow through you. You sing the song sometimes, let it flow through me. Let him flow through me. Let the mighty hand of God flow out through me. Listen, can I tell you that in 1906, on the day when Azusa Street was birthed, that there were 6, 7, and 8-year-old children bringing forth the word under the power of the Holy Ghost. So don't think there's any priorities there. You know, he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said he's the same. He changeth not. And he's no respecter. There's a lot of people that are respecters of person. God is not a respecter of persons. He will use the vessel that will yield and make theirself available to him. But can I tell you this? He may change the vessel. Oh. My grandson was talking about the potter's wheel. They have an electric potter's wheel. And they have one, and he said he had a heck of a time with the feet, the manual. But I got news for you. I know a potter maker that doesn't have a problem at all with being a manual subscriber in the potter's wheel. He can make that potter wheel sing. He can create what he wants to. And if he wants to add a handle, if he wants to take off a handle, if he wants to add a lip or take off a lip, if he wants to make it a big bottom and a small top, a small bottom and a big top, he can do anything that he desires if the clay is pliable. If the clay is pliable. And sometimes he's got to add water with the washing of the word to make the clay pliable. He has to wash us sometimes with his word. He has to correct us with his word. He has to do that in us sometimes that we do not like. I watched as these people use that potter's wheel, and I see how they begin to push in that, in an area on that gob of clay, and the clay has resistance. The clay has resistance, Sharon. It resists the thumbnail. It resists the hand squeeze. It resists. But all of a sudden, he adds more water. He adds more water. And the more water he adds, the next thing you know, then that resistance is not like it used to be. It yields to the pressure. Listen, when the enemy comes in, then like a flood, God will raise up his standard. His word You see, and it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his Spirit that he will keep you. He will keep me. Even in the midst of the storm, I looked at a man by the name of David. And Mel, I seen how many times Saul tried to kill this man. I thought to myself, why do you stay in the palace? Why would you even pick up that harp? Why would you even sing to that man? Why would you be where you were? Because God hath anointed him to be the next king. God had placed him in Saul's palace. God had placed him under the hand of Saul. I don't like it. Listen, there was a man by the name of Joseph, and God placed him in the prison. What do you mean, the prison? He spent 13 years in prison before the man remembered. Sometimes you got to have the edges cut off. Sometimes there's a time of pruning. I have a pear tree in my backyard, and this year I see there's an abundance of blossoms. Abundance of blossoms. So if that tells me how many pears there's going to be, that thing is going to be loaded this year. But I pruned off. Now I've got to go back and prune it again because there's more suckers growing on that thing. And even today, there's even a few dead limbs that have got to be cut off. You see, you got to remember something. When God is pruning where it hasn't brought forth the fruit, he's going to prune so you can bear fruit. It says he prunes so you can bear fruit. He prunes so you can bear more fruit. And then he prunes so you can bring forth an abundance of fruit. You see, each pruning allows the sap to flow to the main branch. Every pruning that the Holy Ghost does in you and me allows the Holy Ghost to flow to the main branch. You are a vessel. That's all. God has sown the word, and he sowed it in good ground. You've heard the word, it's good ground. You're good ground. But now, don't let the cares of the world come in and influence your decision. Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Word. Keep your heart in tune to the Holy Ghost. Let him be the one to lead, guide, and teach, and bring to your remembrance whatsoever you have need of. That's what his job is. Not your job to try to do it yourself. Listen, let me put it this way. If I had a small engine and it needed repair, I'd go to a small engine repair man. If I had a big engine and it needed repair, I'd go to the man that I know that can do it. If I want a flower arrangement, I go to the person that can do it. If I need a physical massage, I go to the people that I know can do it. Think about this. So why would we go to the world for the spiritual news of the gospel whenever God has put people in the position to teach and preach the word, and that's where we need to go, not to the television? I told a lady, she told me one time, she said, you know, Pastor, she said, I'm so glad you come to pray for me. She says, I want you to know that I send my tithe and offering to so-and-so. I said, you do? I said, what happened? She says, what do you mean? I said, well, you should call where you pay your tithe. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're paying your tithes, if you're sowing your seed in that ministry, then that's the ministry that should come to pray for you. I'm kind of blunt, ain't I, huh? But I asked her, I said, you know, what is it when the Holy Ghost is moving? Do you reach up and get a hold of that television and you get that warm feeling in your heart? Does the Holy Ghost come all over you? She said, I can't hug that television. I said, why not? I said, when I'm in the service and the Spirit of God is moving and I need to hug the Lord or I need to hug a brother, I can go to that brother and I can put my arms around him and I feel the strength and I feel the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost, but I can't do it through that television. And don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to send money to ministries if they bless you and stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But the Word also says bring your tithes and offering into the storehouse. I'll tell you what. Why am I getting out? Okay. Listen, you sure don't go down here to VG's and get your groceries and go over to Myers and pay for them. If you do, I need to pray for you. There's something be missing up here. Listen to what I'm saying. Go to the source. Go to the street. Go to the storehouse and receive of God. Go to Him. VG's might give you groceries and donuts. God gives you uplifting and He undergirds you. He keeps you above those things which so easily would beset you. Amen. He said the little foxes are what spoil the vine. You are the vine if you are in Christ. And the little foxes come to nibble at it. You know? You know, whenever that seed is sown, God is the sower. And if I don't cultivate that seed, then that seed's going to wither. It's not going to have any roots. Can I tell you something else, too? If this week you're here, next week you're there, the following week you're here, the following week you're over here, and the next week you're here, you know the thing I'm going to ask you? I want to see your roots. Show me your root system. Show me how far it goes down. It's a surface root. Do you know what happens to a surface root? When the weather is raining like it is now, that surface root is washed up. When it comes to the top like that, then the sun of persecution comes out. And he begins to shine on that root system. And when he begins to shine on that root system, he begins to bake it out. You see, there's no watering of the word on that root system because we've been pulled up. We've left. So we are not getting the watering of the word. We're only hearing what somebody says. And we don't believe them because we left that. And we don't believe them because we left there. We don't believe them because we left there. What do we believe? Oh, I don't know. I just haven't made up my mind yet. So when the watering of the word comes, it's too late. You see, we've shriveled up. Our root system is up out of the water. But if we'll dig down into the ground and plant the word again, plant that root down and begin to water it, begin to put miracle grow on it, then the next thing you know, you'll see that puny little plant because the roots now are getting fed. They're getting nurtured. They're getting nourishment. And they begin to extend. They begin to grow. They begin to stand up. No longer am I tossed to and fro by every whim and doctrine. Why? Because I know what I believe. And you're not going to sway me. I've anchored in Jesus. Come what may, I've anchored in Jesus. When the wind comes, when the wind blows, when the waves come, I'm still standing on the rock. And upon this rock,
I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? It's the gates are going to come, but they will not prevail because I'm anchored. And if you've ever seen a root system, whenever there's a rock around it, that root system will begin to curl, and it'll begin to dig under, and it'll begin to get its place around. It'll get to the place in time where if you were to dig up and there was a rock there, you will find the root all around the rock. And that's what the enemy should find when he comes looking for you. He should find your root system all around the rock, Jesus. So that when it blows, I'm not moved. I just bend with the wind. I just sway, and I sway, and I worship the Lord as I sway. Hey, it's me. Hi. Do you know who I am? I know you know me by name. You've got every hair on my head counted. It's me again, oh Lord. He knows you. Brother Batter will tell you that when he used to preach the message that God knows every hair on his head, he always said that God had to change the count every day. But hear me, it doesn't make any difference if he has to change the count every 60 minutes. He still knows you, and he's got a hair on your head numbered. He knows you by your name, your face, your spirit. He knows you. That root system has got to be anchored. It's got to be firm. You know, a long time ago, in the other house where Bonnie and I were living, we had these bushes out beside the garage. And they looked like evergreen trees, only stub nose. You know, and they were there. And she was going someplace, and I told her, I said, when you get back, we'll go out and eat or do something when you get back. She said, okay. She said, how long do you think it's going to take you? I said, oh, there's four bushes. I said, oh, maybe 2 or 3 hours. I began to dig them bushes up, Brother Vern. I got so disgusted with them, I backed my truck up, put a chain around it, and tried to pull them out. The roots were under the garage. They weren't just there, they were way under that garage. I mean, it took me 4 hours to get one out. I said, the rest of you can stay. If that's how rooted and grounded they can stay. I got one out, it took 4 hours. You think I'm going to waste 2 days on... No, not me. Them things can stay there. I'll just trim them down. Yeah, they look real good after 4 hours. Them things look better and better. The longer I was out there and that sun down on me and the sweat running in my eyes, the longer I looked at them, the better they looked. You see, I knew better after the one than to fool with the other three. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you something. When the enemy comes in, and he may buffet Paula, and Paula may finally, she'll just, but then the problem is he's got to buffet Jill. He's got to buffet Tim. He's got to buffet Aaron. He's got to buffet Ariana. He's got to buffet Heather. He's got to buffet Daniel. He's got to buffet Pastor. He's got to buffet Betty. He's got to buffet Mike. You see, he's going to look around and say, listen, them things look better staying than they do with me trying to pull them out. I'm going to go away and leave them alone. And then we reclaim Paula. That's what making up the hedge is all about. You may not be on top of the world today, but tomorrow, somebody else may be down and you're up at the top. You ate your Wheaties and you're ready to do battle. You say you ate the Word of God and it came alive in you. It became rhema to you. And when it became rhema to you, it didn't matter how many shovels, how many trucks tried to pull it up. They weren't going anywhere. Why? Because it's anchored. You see, that's why it's so important to know the Word, to study the Word. That's why Timothy said to study, to show thyself approved, a workman rightly dividing the Word. You know why you divide the Word? Listen,
If I'm praying for somebody that's on a bed of affliction, I don't need tongues and interpretation. I need a miracle. I need healings. That's the gifts I need to see in operation. And above all, I need the gift of faith in operation. My faith, their faith, anchored together, causing them to rise. What was it? Was it Peter said he perceived that the man had the ability or whatever it was to be healed? Even at the gate called Beautiful, he perceived there was something inside of the man that had not walked for 38 years. The man had not felt anything in his feet, in his ankle bone, in his toe, in his knee. He had not walked for 38 years. And yet something inside of Peter said he can be healed. And so Peter said, silver and gold I sure don't have, but such as I have give I to thee. You know what he was giving him? I'm coupling my faith with your faith. Now get up! And the man leaping to his feet. Can you imagine? Those bones that had never felt the pressure of the body on them had to experience what that man must have felt whenever he began to leap and jump and shout and praise the Lord. How great it must have felt not to be confined to that bed of affliction anymore. You know why? Because the root system was anchored deep in Peter. It wasn't surface. It was anchored deep in Peter. You see, the deeper your root system goes, the more, how do I want to say this, the more apt you are to say, get up! And the more apt you're liable to see it. Have you ever thought, when you first got saved, when you went to a funeral, and that body was laying in that casket, have you ever sat there and thought, Lord, what would happen if I said, get up out of that coffin? But you know, Brian, the thing that really, then I heard this, what would you do if they did? What would you do if they did? I'll tell you something. My wife and I were praying for a lady one night. The lady had been in a wheelchair all of her, well, not all of her life, but a lot of her life. And she was in the second pew, and I was preaching, and I went back and I prayed for, I was praying, and Bonnie came over with me, and we reached out our hands, and this woman stood up. Confined to a wheelchair, Sister Sharon, she stood up and she looked around and fell back down in the seat. I went to her afterwards. I'm broke. I mean, I'm distraught. I says, why? And she said, because if I would have walked out of that pew, it would have changed my life, and I like it just the way it is.
Jesus.
And to this day, she's still in that wheelchair. You see, faith roots need to be nourished. They need to grow. They need to be cultivated. And they're cultivated by worship service, Sunday school. They're cultivated by revival that's coming up. They're cultivated by reading the Word. They're cultivated by praying. They're really cultivated when you get to the place where you don't know how to pray and the Holy Ghost begins to pray through you. You know? That cultivating roots, causing roots to grow, to be nurtured. You notice some roots, when you see them, they're just little things. But then as you see them, they begin to grow. The roots begin to expand. You know, they expand to take in more nourishment out of the soil.
And I see Christian people that when they first come in, they have little roots. But the more they're in the house of God, and the more the Spirit moves, and the more they study, the more they pray, the more they seek God, I see them roots expand because they reach out and they get a hold of the nourishment that God's providing, and it strengthens them. You know, I've seen people in a service, and a power of God's been moving, and I see them just worshiping God and receiving from God, and then I see them that are,
I shall not be moved.
You know, a bomb couldn't move them. Unless it was a stink bomb. Then they might move from the spot they are and go get another one. People, the Holy Ghost is wanting to find a vessel that he can flow completely unblocked, uninhibited through. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you wear a tie. It doesn't matter if you have hair on your head. It doesn't matter if you wear glasses. It doesn't matter what color you are. He's looking for a vessel to flow through. And when he finds one, he will use that person. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. Flow through me. I want to see. I am from Missouri, but I want to see. I want to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I told the Lord, I said, Brother Taylor and I are friends, you know. And I said, Lord, if you use Brother Taylor, if you use Brother Batter, I'll get behind him and support him 120%, 150%. Whatever I can do to support them, I will do it. If you'll just flow through them. If you'll just manifest the gifts of the Spirit. Whoever it is in the body of, in this body here, if he wants to flow through Paula, I'll get behind Paula and push her so that she's used of God. If it's Mike he wants, I'll get behind Mike and push her. If it's Sister Joy, I'll get behind Sister Joy and let God use. I'll push her. I'll hold her arms up until she can't even hold her own. If I have to, I'll get a hinge and hook it up there and put ropes on her hand to hold them up so that I don't get tired, just so that God will manifest through his body. If that's what it would take, that's my desire. You know, I did have a text. Don't you shut that tape off yet till I get my text on there, because they'll think he never had a text. Let me read you my text. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. But you know, there's another verse right here. There's another verse right here that says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Uh-oh. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen and amen. You see, I had a text. Luke 8:13 and 2 Peter 3:18. Those were my scriptures this morning. People, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal, I mean personal, I don't mean I know of him.